Almost there. Such a professional show. Hey, boys and girls. Fish and Frank here in the chair. Robert in the chair across from me. And we have FWC on the line with Brian. So, all you out there, ships at sea, moms and dads, children, everybody, people falling down in the mall somewhere, pay attention because we're going to learn stuff from FWC today. And that's Florida Wildlife Commission, I believe. I could be wrong about that, but FWC, they're the ones responsible for taking care of our wildlife Florida-wide. So anyway, let's get rid of me and get to them. And are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing, Frank?
Well, considering I had to start the show twice today.
It is Friday. It happens.
Yeah, it just keeps happening. I don't know what's going on. So, we're going to go over a couple of questions here. We're going to try and hit you up from time to time for some questions. What I was going to do is get you to answer a question and see if you had anything, announcements from FWC, stuff you wanted people to know about. But I get this question a lot from people about wade fishing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, you go out and you go wading, and there used to be a law in the books. Once you got over 4 feet of water, you went boat laws and or under. What laws do you follow if you're wading? How do you figure that out?
Well, the way we interpret it a lot of times is it depends on how you got there. So if you're going from, you know, obviously if you're fishing from a pier, from the bank, and you're just required to have the shoreline license. And so if you wade out into the water, you know, from the shoreline, then you're just going to be required to have the shoreline license. But once you, you know, get in a boat, whether you're fishing from a boat or you take a boat to an island and you get out of the boat and you're fishing from there, whether it's a canoe, kayak, you know, pleasure cruise or, you know, center console, that sort of thing, then you need to have the regular saltwater fishing license and any other stamps or permits that you might need, depending on what you're going
to
keep.
Okay, so it almost boils down to the same thing. If I was to leave Fish and Frank's, leave the bait shop, and I'm going to go to where I'm going to go fishing, as long as I can get there with my feet dry, by bridge or by some type of physical structure, whatever, I'm shoreline licensed stuff.
Yep.
And I wade out in the water and crawl up on something like a structure, I need a boat license to be there.
Yes. And the only exemption to that would be if you're going to be like skin diving and spear fishing, that sort of thing. It does specify that if you're going to be swimming or diving, then you're going to need to have the regular saltwater license. But other than that, if you're leaving from the bank, you know, you're wading out a little bit, that sort of thing. If you didn't get there by boat, then you just need the shoreline license, unless you're going to be diving from land.
So if I swam across the channel at Ponce de Leon Park to the opposite side, technically I would need a boat saltwater license.
Because that is an island over there.
Because I swam.
Yeah, because you swam over there, yep.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So basically, as long as your feet are touching the bottom the entire time, mm-hmm. you are
yep.
fine.
But the moment you have to... Yeah, that's just an easy way to break it down. And like I said, if you're, you know, start from land and... You stay on land, then you're good to go. But you know, as soon as you leave land, whether you're swimming or diving or you're on a boat, then you need to have the regular saltwater fishing license.
So if I just drive down to the pier, get out and wade in the water, I don't need to use circle hooks for, say, mangrove snapper because I'm under the land rules.
Well, that doesn't necessarily apply. The you know when
wait a minute.
It all depends on what you're fishing for.
Well, if you're on land,
boat or you're on land.
If you're on land fishing for mangrove snappers, you can use whatever hook you want. You don't have to use circle hooks. But if you're in a boat, you have to use circle hooks for mangrove snapper.
It's all based on the species you're fishing for, regardless of where you are.
Really?
I thought the regulation read something along the lines while fishing from a vessel for reef species.
It could be.
We're not trying to throw you. I was just
we just want to be right so we can educate our customers because we don't ever want to misinform them intentionally. You know.
Yeah. No, that's a good one.
I'm just not sure.
Because
we do get that circle question a ton. I mean, it's a very confusing. It's a very poorly written law.
And if
I mean, the way you guys have got it worded, it is, I mean, honestly, any lawyer would have a field day with it.
So,
but we want to make sure that we're accurate to the customers, because we don't want them to get in trouble, because we know that they're going to get the ticket, not us, but we don't want to ever misinform them intentionally.
No, definitely. No, I agree. We want to make sure everybody's got the right information.
So hey, this was, I thought this, literally thought this was an easy question. Okay, shoreline, you could do this. Pirate boat, you could do, you had to do that. I literally thought, okay, well, you know, we're just going to explain that these are the rules. And so now we get to wait with bated breath. you know,
right.
To find out what hook we're allowed to do. And we can cover this. We can, you know, do this Monday or something on another program. We can, you know, I don't expect you to whip out the rule book and look through it at this point. But, so basically, wading rules, is there a 4-foot rule? Somebody told me about, used to be 4 feet deep, as long as you were in less than 4 feet of water when you walked away from the shore to go wade fishing, you had to be in less than 4 feet of water.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I have not personally seen that. So it kind of goes back to, you know, as long as your feet are touching the ground, whether you're in the water wading out or you're on land. But once you start swimming or diving or you're on a boat, then, you know, you'd need the other license.
Okay. So that's cool. All right. Now, and we'll, how about we'll get together Monday, give you time to whatever, look that up and figure out what's going on with that circle hook land boat issue, because that's kind of interesting. Anyway, what has FWC got coming up? Is there anything you guys are trying to bring attention to at this point?
Yes. We actually have an opportunity, and it's not coming up until October, but it's going to be right here in Port Charlotte, and it's going to be one of our Glide Grouper workshops. I know Glide Grouper are a hot topic on both sides, whether you're for some sort of limited harvest or against. But this is going to be a workshop that's open to the public. We're going to have FWC employees there discussing potential management opportunities, and that could involve posing some sort of a limited harvest going forward. But they want input from the public, no matter what side you're on. And so I know a lot of times, people can't make it to commission meetings and that sort of thing. So we started hosting these workshops around the state to give people more opportunity to be able to come and voice their opinion about things that they're passionate about. And I know that this is something, especially in this area, that a lot of people have very strong opinions about, like I said, on one side or the other. So this is going to be here in Port Charlotte at the Cultural Center of Charlotte County on October 17th. And it's going to go from 5 to 8 p.m. And everybody's invited, and we encourage you to come out and to just let us know what your thoughts are on the management of the Goliath Grouper moving forward.
Okay. Now, this is at the Cultural Center here in Port Charlotte on October 18th. And what time was
that?
17th. October 17th.
October 17th.
Yep. There's going to be one in Naples the next day on October 18th. But they're both from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay. And I'm just making some notes because I'm going to write this by the radio show so people can actually see this. And it's 5 to what?
5 to 8 p.m.
Okay, yeah. I don't type well. If you've ever read my fishing reports, you know I don't type well. Robert's making notes. So, but we're going to put this right on the thing there because it's kind of important. I will weigh in briefly and say I don't care if they open them up or close them or whatever, but I don't want any of this slot thing at the high end. At the high end, we need big game fish in Florida, and we want them to move the snook limits up to 39, 40 inches and up. We want big Goliath grouper and not take any of the smaller ones, only the biggest, oldest ones. And I don't believe the scientist. I don't believe anybody who gets paid to tell me bad stuff. So I think we should be like nature and take the older, weak ones out and leave the younger, healthier ones to go. But that's just one guy's opinion.
Yeah, and that's the type of thing that we want to hear. Everybody will have an opportunity to voice their opinion. And there's other ways as well. You can go online, myfwc.com, and you can submit your comments that way. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities. There, I think there's about 10 or so different locations that are traveling around between now and October, trying to seek input, because this is something that, you know, can be very controversial. But we want to make sure that it's something that is balanced between the science and what the public interest is. So
now that's
why we're trying to get everybody's input.
These locations that they're doing, are they actually applicable locations, or are they like getting people's opinions from the panhandle where they don't have a Goliath problem or even a population really?
Nope, they're all over, from the Keys up the East Coast to, see, I'm looking here, we got Stewart, Key Largo, Key West, Marathon, Lake Worth. There are a few up in the panhandle. I'm trying to give everybody an opportunity throughout the state.
Believe it or not, but, you know, it might not think of it, but our largest part of our listening audience, a few thousand people listen in Southwest Florida, but the East Coast of Florida, we have a big audience. There's 2,000 people listening on the East Coast of Florida, by the way.
Yeah,
just to give you an idea. So
you,
go ahead and mention the stuff on the East Coast, because people listen to, because they're going to come here on vacation. So whether they're in Wachula or Fort Pierce or wherever, when I don't get a fishing report up, I get hate mail from the other coast regularly.
Yep. Well, in addition to the ones I mentioned, there was one on July 31st in Lake Worth, but upcoming ones on the East Coast, there's one in Titusville on October 10th, and that's at the American Police Hall of Fame, in Stewart at the Flagler Place on October 11th, and then October 12th in Davie, and then over here, again, on the West Coast, there's one in Pinellas Park, so north of us, on the 16th. And then the one in Port Charlotte on the 17th and one in Naples on the 18th. And all of this can be found on myfwc.com if people have questions.
Very cool. Robert, any more questions about the grouper thing, Goliath thing?
No, not really.
Okay.
And I will clarify, I did misspeak on the circle hooks. You are correct. It is the rule reads harvesting from the vessel. So you are correct. If you're on the vessel, you need the circle hooks. From land, it is not a requirement.
So if you're wading out and you're wade fishing, you don't have to carry different hooks with you. If you're a J-hook guy like I am, I hate circle hooks. I think they're horrific. I don't like what they do to the fish when you're trying to release them. I end up doing damage to the fish because I can't get the thing out. How do you get something round out of a fish when his head is there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm a very anti-circle hook guy.
Yeah, and everybody's got their opinions on it. But I just wanted to clarify from my side that, yes, if you're on a vessel, you need them when fishing for reef fish. When you're fishing from land, you just don't need them.
All right. Now, Robert, you want to take a bow on that?
Okay. No.
Yay!
Not at all. I just want to make sure I was reading it right.
Oh, yeah.
We mess up from time to time. You know?
Hey, we all do. I just don't want to ever misinform any of our customers.
Oh, I agree. We want to make sure that the right information is.
We get a lot
there,
of obscure questions, and most of the time they think we're you. You know?
Yeah.
And your guys' booklet is two books that are, 5 inches thick by 10, mm-hmm. 12 inches wide. And we've got a 4-page brochure that's worse than a Reader's Digest version, and we got to try to interpret that.
Yep.
Well, the one thing I will say, and I've said it 1,000 times before, and I will repeat it again for you, is that the best part about FWC is they're amazing ambassadors to the fishing community. I have seen them, they go out and try to interpret the intention of the person. If somebody's intentionally trying to do harm to the public welfare, as in our fishing stocks taking illegal fish, they come down on them like a house of bricks. God bless you for it. We admire that. When somebody makes a goofy little mistake, they're much more lenient. And you guys are amazing ambassadors for the sport. We're just stand in awe of the way you guys are willing to go out there by yourselves when people have guns and you walk in the woods with these people, you go out on boats, and amazing amount of cojones, my friend. And you guys do it all with a 99.9% of the time you do it with a smile and a great understanding that people just aren't perfect, and they make mistakes, and you guys are amazing ambassadors for the sport, and thank you for that.
Yeah, we appreciate that, and that's true. Like, when we are going out and we're working, we're really looking for those people that are intentionally going out and trying to take advantage of the resources, and those are the ones we really want to catch. There are rules.
And we want to help you do it.
And regulations, yeah. And so, but we do understand from time to time, you know, these rules change. And we're willing to work with people to educate them about, you know, new rules or rules that have changed. Or maybe this is their first time fishing. You know, it's not always beneficial to everybody to automatically take somebody to jail. Sometimes, you know, simple education and trying to teach them some of the rules going forward. We like to hope that, you know, there won't be any further issues. Unfortunately, that doesn't always happen, but that's where we get to use our discretion. And it doesn't take a whole lot to determine whether or not somebody's trying to take advantage of it, or if they really don't know. And so that's something when we're out there, we try to take into consideration, because we want everybody to enjoy the outdoors, enjoy everything that Florida has to offer, whether it's hunting or fishing, you know, being in the woods, all that. But we want to make sure everybody's at least trying to do the right thing. And those that are out there trying to take advantage of it and ruining it for everybody else, those are the ones we really like to catch.
Well, I can tell you, just a couple of days ago, it was 33 years of me working in this store. And I've known one who I would have classified as not up to par FWC officer in all that time. And everybody else, most of them, they come in the store, they're just a part of everybody else who comes in and goes out. We've, you know, over the years, Sam is still with you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yep.
You know, he'd come hang out in the store and talk to people and answer questions all day. And we've had Mike, who's just absolutely amazing. He's one of the coolest mm-hmm. guys on the planet. You know, you've got so many great people there at FWC. So anyway, enough of that fun fest. Let's go back to another question.
All right.
Let's see. If you're going to go out fishing on a pier and you're catching fish and you want to eat some of these fish, and let's set aside, they're all legal fish, everything's good. Now, the rules state they have to be kept in whole condition. How do you decide where and when you can fillet them?
Yeah, well, the way the rule reads is, and I've got it right here in front of me, and it says the possession while in or on state waters or any public or private fishing pier on a bridge, et cetera, it has to remain in whole condition. And so while you're out there actively fishing, whether you're on a pier, a jetty, on a boat, that sort of thing, the fish has to remain in whole condition. Now, you can gut it, you can, you know, remove all the entrails and stuff, but, you know, the head and the tail and everything in between need to be there. That way, if, you know, we come up to you and check your fish, we can accurately measure it, tell what it is, that sort of thing. But once you're done fishing, you're packed up and you're leaving, obviously we've got some piers around here where it's not really conducive to, you know, clean the fish when you get to your truck. So, you know, when you're done packed up, if you want to clean them, you know, right at the end of the pier, you know, before the sidewalk, that's going to be probably okay. Just make sure that they're legal fish. And we may ask a few questions, you know, if you're coming out and you've got a bunch of fillets. But, you know, once you're done fishing and you're all packed up for the day, then, yeah, you can clean the fish, you know, on your way back to the truck.
Okay. So, because I get that asked that question all the time. You know, we're not allowed to cut them up, so when do we do it? And, you know, that's, I hate to say it, but that's kind of answer you hope FWC is going to get.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good common sense answer, that you're actually physically packed up. You don't have one fishing pole out waiting for that one extra bite while you're mm-hmm. messing around cleaning up the fish. You know, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, you know, like I said, it's all about, you know, we want people to be able to enjoy it, but, you know, if you've cleaned that fish and then you catch another one that's a little bit better, then you can be more tempted just to throw those fillets over. Or if it's a little undersized or that sort of thing, then, you know, we got to be able to measure it. But we also understand when you're done fishing, you know, at some point you're going to have to clean the fish. And there's always a chance that you may, we meet one of us and you've got the fillets, and then you just, if you can give us a good justification for why they're filleted out, and like I said, we may have a few more questions, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to.
Nowadays, people have a cell phone if they want to avoid the problem. Almost every cell phone takes a picture, and almost everybody has one. Just lay them down and put the ruler there and click the picture, and you're done.
Yep. It's just the ones that, you know, sometimes we'll see they're down at the very end of the pier, they've still got four lines out, and we come up on them, and they've got, you know, two fillets sitting in the cooler.
But they that should be...
That kind of starts to raise some questions.
Raise questions, my butt, they should have a ticket.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, so, that's why I'm not FWC, because yeah. I would not be the good ambassador to the sport. I do not have the patience you do. I'm like, you're an idiot, here's your ticket. You know, here's your sign, and here's your fine.
Yep, and so, you know, there's plenty of ways to preserve the fish, you know, so you don't have to, you know, try to fillet them out and stick them next to your sandwich. You know, you can bring out a cooler, you know, ice, and keep them, you know, in whole condition, put them on a stringer, you know, do whatever you got to do to keep them intact while you're fishing. But so once you're done and for the day and you're all packed up, then if you want to clean them, that's fine.
Like I say, that's why I don't work for FWC.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be near as nice as you guys. I wish I could be. But anyway, Robert, do you have any questions?
Off the top of my head, I don't, believe it or not.
Wow.
I mean, we get so many different random questions in here that I'm actually stumped at this particular second.
Well, if it's all right with you, we'd like to call back whenever we have questions and, you
definitely
know, get some real answers to some of this stuff, because there is so many things. And, you know, this wade fishing and when do you clean your fish? These are things that it's really hard for the average person to understand. And, I mean, I've been doing this forever, and I still have to call up and ask. And I, honestly, I've called Mike at least 8 times in the last 4 months to say, is this right or wrong?
Yeah, I call Sam on a fairly regular basis, too.
Yeah,
you know?
And we understand there's a lot of different rules, and they're for a reason. But at the same time, we also understand that, you know, people are just out there, and they're trying to catch some fish. So we want to work with people. But somewhere we got to draw the line, and you know, and so that's where each situation is unique, and each time we, you know, we are talking to somebody is a unique situation, and
yeah,
so that's how we weigh all the circumstances, and sometimes that means you're taking a ride to jail, and other times you may not, and you know, so it really just depends on a lot of different factors.
I actually do have a question now that I'm thinking about, because it's kind of applicable to this time of year. Mayan cichlids, non-native species, and let's say I'm out there fishing, and I'm going to go snook fishing or tarpon fishing. I'm sitting, I don't care, let's pick on Lashley Park, and I happen to catch a Mayan cichlid there, and I decide to put him down for bait. The way I understand it, he actually has to be deceased or cut up. He cannot be used live in that particular spot, and you cannot transport them alive to use them for bait in other locations. Is that correct, or can I catch him right there on the spot and put him back on a hook for snook or tarpon in that exact spot where I caught him from?
That is another really good question that we don't get very often.
We get it this time. We get it this time of year with the tilapia and the Mayan cichlids, because it is the rainy season, so they start to push out of the river pretty good numbers, and sometimes those tarpon go onto a massive tilapia feed and Mayan cichlid feed, and guys catch them and want to use them for bait. And I'm not 100% sure if I read it right that they have to be dead.
Yeah. I would have to double check on that one too.
I'm the other way. I figure it's a non-native species. It's non-regulated. It's a problem. Put a hook into it and use it for bait. What's the difference? I don't understand why
it would
have to be one way or the other. So I've never told people they have to kill them. You know, so I could be really wrong and have given out a lot of bad information, or Robert could be right.
Right. Well, and that's why I'm asking, because I obviously it works better alive, but I also don't want to break the law, and obviously I would kill everyone once I'm done fishing at the end of the day to prevent from throwing it back in the water and all that good stuff. I got no issues with that, but I don't want to tell a guy that he can throw a couple in his live well while he's fishing on the Peace River, drifting up and down looking for snook or tarpon, and him get in trouble because I told him it was okay to do that.
Yeah, I don't believe that there's any issue with that. There's no necessary a requirement, you know, to kill non-natives. We want people to be educated about them, and obviously they can be an issue, whether it's, you know, fish or iguanas, that sort of thing. But
yeah, there's another interesting one right there.
Yeah, I'm talking myself into a corner. But you know, so that's something I will definitely research and get you. I want to make sure I get your correct answer on that.
No, and that's all good. I was just asking.
To my understanding, there's no requirement that it has to be dead, and it can be used for bait.
And I'm totally willing to accept that answer because I've been telling people, hey, there's no laws on non-native species. So if there's no bag limit or size limit or whatever on them, there's no reason you can't use them for live bait. And I was hoping I was right because I've been using live tilapia for bait for 30-some years.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. Well, and that's why.
I was going to say, that's where I'm kind of leaning towards the side of you, Frank, is they are unregulated species since they are non-native. So essentially you can do what you want with them.
But now you're not allowed to transport them from one freshwater body to another.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to be reintroducing them to anything, whether it's from your fish tank to the lake or from the lake to another lake, that sort of thing.
Yeah, as long as you're using them where you caught them, you're okay. Yeah. But you cannot transport them. That's always been my understanding. If you get caught transporting them, you are most likely going to get a fine, and rightly so, because you don't want to spread non-native species amongst the state.
Sure, and I understood that. I just wasn't sure about the other. So it was just one of those perplexing questions.
Yeah, these are all really good questions that we don't get, and that people have, but we don't necessarily get them very often. We don't encounter them very often.
You want me to ask you an iguana question next?
Sure. We've been dealing with iguanas lately, so I'm kind of up to speed on iguana regulations.
Okay. Let's say those ones that they mentioned on the news this morning that were found dead laying on the sidewalk down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how those animals died. But mm-hmm. yet they didn't say anything other than that the city was going to come in and remove them. You know, I think they said waste management was going to come in and remove the animals.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't mention how they were killed. Even though it's a non-native species, you have several animals laying right in a row along a sidewalk. You know, they're an iguana. They didn't die from heat exhaustion. You know, they know how to thermoregulate themselves. Would you guys actually go a step further to investigate if it was killed in an unlawful manner, let's say poisoning them, which could affect our native animals if they were to eat those carcasses? Do you guys perform a necropsy on those animals, or were they just picked up, scooped up, and thrown in the dumpster and kind of forgotten about because it is a non-native? You know, I get the guy down there shooting them with the BB gun. That makes perfect sense. But
yeah, and it really depends on if this becomes, you know, sometimes there's instances where, you know, I didn't pick up those iguanas, so I don't know the complete circumstances around them. But if it's something that it seems like it's a recurring issue, then yes, that would probably be something that we would look into to make sure that they're not being poisoned or inhumanely, you know, killed. That being said, they are non-native, you know, invasive, and so there are many legal ways that you can you know, kill iguanas inhumanely and that sort of thing.
Right.
So if this is something that continues and we do find that there are iguanas popping up in weird places and we start to suspect that there may be some foul play going on, then yes, that's probably something we would look into just to be sure that somebody isn't, in fact, poisoning them that could affect other animals.
Okay.
All right.
But we don't necessarily investigate every single dead animal that we see.
No, you can't. That'd just be ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Here's kind of a follow-up on that. A lot of people are complaining about, you know, guys who may or, you know, doing all kinds of stupid stuff with animals. As far as I'm aware of, there is an ethical treatment of animal law, and whether it's a non-native or native species, a fish or an animal, if you're caught torturing it before you know, if you kill something, that's, you know, that's the way life goes. But if you torture it, then you can be, no matter what the fish or animal or anything is, there are laws against that.
Yes, yeah, but it doesn't matter if it's a native species or a non-native. If you're going to kill it, then it needs to be done humanely. And there are certain laws, and I don't have all the exact laws in front of me as far as, I mean, it's a lot of it's common sense. But if if you are, in fact, torturing the animal or doing it in an inhumane way, then yes, no matter what the species is, you could be violating the law. And okay. So it's just something to be mindful of. We try to be responsible when it comes to the animals. And yes, there may be some invasives out there, and it may not be illegal to kill that animal, but make sure you're doing it in a humane way so that it's not going to suffer.
Yeah, that's the big thing. And there's a lot of people now with all the internet and everything else and all that. The basic rule, it's like people say, well, I have the right of way when they're on the water. And I say, no. The first law of the Coast Guard is you're not allowed to create a close quarter situation. If a guy's coming up to you and he does not have the right of way and you do, you see him coming and you don't avoid that, your fault. And mm-hmm. It's the same thing when you're killing something. If you do not respect the animal or the fish or the creature, let's say, and you're, torturing it and killing it in an awful manner, you deserve fines and punishment and everything else. Everything we do in our world is about respect for the animals. Everything mm-hmm. should be handled as well as possible. And if you're going to eat, don't kill it if you're not going to eat it. And if you kill it, eat it. And I ate some awful stuff growing up because my dad believed in that. And I mean, I can tell you, some of the critters I killed, as a rather exuberant child, I mean, he made me eat them. So, I learned, watch what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, just so everybody out there knows, you and I really did not know each other. We just kind of met over the phone, but I really enjoyed talking to you and look forward to meeting you in person. And hopefully you'll allow us to keep calling and asking questions.
Definitely. And I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk to everybody. And I'll come stop by the shop sometime. I'm right here in Charlotte County. So I'll swing in. I've been in there from time to time. I don't think you were there the time that I did stop
It'd be nice to put a face with the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely paperwork. Pop in and...
Yeah, I do more paperwork than fishing now, so. And that would be great. I'm going to talk to you about maybe getting FWC to put up a little booth at our tent sale, and that would be very cool.
Yeah,
to
definitely.
Do. Goliath Grouper Workshops, that's coming up in Charlotte County on the 18th. 17th. I'm sorry. Charlotte County on the 17th at the Cultural Center, Naples on the 18th, and where else?
On the East Coast, it would be Titusville on the 10th, Stewart on the 11th, and Davie on the 12th of all of October.
So if you guys want to get in and actually have some meaningful dialogue with FWC and the people who make the rules, attend the meetings, but go there in a non-passionate way. Provide smart, intelligent, not just... emotional arguments we don't need, but for me, the reason I'm for big fish and only taking the largest ones is so we keep a large game fish and we keep those big fish coming. I do not like taking the best out of the middle. I'm old school. I think the older ones should go. I always say if I die, it would be, okay, so I died, I had a good life. But if my son died, it would be horribly tragic. And he needs to go on and have the rest of his life. That's how I equate to fish. But these are the kind of arguments you want to present to FWC. This is the kind of way you want to talk to them. Give them a reason, not just, well, I want to do this. That's not going to fly. Come with a good argument, think it out, and present it at these meetings. And any last words, Mr. FWC Brian?
We got Labor Day coming up. Want to remind everybody to be smart when they're out there on the water. We've had a lot of boating accidents this year, unfortunately, and we'd like to see that number dwindle to zero and not have to worry any more boating accidents. That's the non-glamorous portion of what we have to do. And so make sure if you're going to be drinking, you've got a sober driver, and you've got somebody capable of driving the boat.
How about
We want everybody to have fun, but we want everybody to be safe.
How about next week we go over some of the do's and don'ts about boating?
Definitely.
Give you a chance, and then next week we'll do a show about, basically how to avoid getting rusted and how to avoid getting dead on the water.
That sounds good. That would be a good opportunity, and I look forward to it.
All right. Well, We're going to... Robert, any last words?
No, just I appreciate you taking the time to answer the questions.
No problem.
All right, well, this is Fish and Frank in the chair. That's Robert in the chair across from me. And we have Brian from FWC on. And I got to tell you, boys and girls, this is my first interview with him. This is the first time talking to him. And really like this guy. I hope he allows us to keep calling back and doing all this. And I guess that just means the show's over. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye.